We are working through Genesis and have been studying the foundations of the scripture, the foundations of the world, the foundations of God's plan for everything, including your life. And we are beginning to peel off and go down and begin talking about who we call the Father of Faith. And so that's going to happen today. Last time we were together, we talked about the Tower of Babel, and we talked about how God organized the people against their will to be from every different tribes and different nations with different lands and different languages, and that God did that in the Tower of Babylon, that it was his purpose all along to be fruitful and multiply and fill the whole earth. And so God kind of had to force his hand on that one. But he's God, and that's what he does. And so we're tickled about that. So the next piece that you see right after this bloodline, that we pick the bloodline back up of Shem. And remember who Shem was. Shem was one of whose boys? Noah's boys, yeah. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And Shem will end up fathering Abraham and 10 generations later. And, of course, the way these guys write the generations, if you read through chapter 11, starting at verse 10 after the Tower of Babel, you're going to see it begin like this. These are the generations of Shem. And when Shem was 100 years old, he fathered this dude with a weird name 2 years after the flood. And so right after the flood, y'all want to try? What's his name? I'm just going with, let's call him Arp, and fathered Arp, and when he was 100 years old, 2 years after the flood, and so they were beginning to do what God said, which to be fruitful and multiply and fill all the earth. And then at the end of this 10 generations, you're going to see this. When Terah had lived 70 years, he fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And now these are the generations of Terah. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran fathered Lot. And Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his kindred in Ur of the Chaldeans. Now, this becomes a very important part of the story. Because it tells us a whole bunch of stuff, like when Lot is now traveling with Abraham, well, that's his what? Uncle. And because his brother was Haran, and Haran died in the presence of his father. And that they came from this place called Ur of the Chaldeans, where they had settled. And so let's continue reading a little bit here, and I'll piece some of this history together in just a second, because it's interesting, and God told us, so it's cool too. And Abraham and Nahor took wives, and the name of Abram's wife was Sarah, and the name, and by the way, there are people that try to be cool here and say Sarai, and make a distinction. Her name's going to end up being Sarah, and his is going to be Abraham, so I'm just cutting to the chase here. But anyways, the name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, and the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah. And now Sarah was barren and had no children. Another important fact, of course, as you know the story of Abraham a little bit, it's one of the main stories, so you probably already know that Sarah doesn't have children until way later. We'll study that when we get to it. And then it says this: Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Cana. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Now, this is an important step, and because I want to pause right here and show you something. Most of you know that Abraham was called by God from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the promised land, to go to walk across the land that God was going to give them. Of course, you know that he wasn't to settle there. Who was going to settle the land? Joshua. Yeah, Joshua was going to settle the land after Moses, right? So, but Abraham, God wanted him to walk across it, and we'll see this in the coming weeks. But what happened was that he was called from Ur of the Chaldeans. But here's this interesting thing, that even though he had been called from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan, when they got to Haran, they settled there. They stopped. And so this is interesting, and this is going to be a part of the story. And so let me just read. And then the next line in the text says this: the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Oh, this is an interesting little tidbit that I'm going to give you. If you look at our other lineages that we've seen, these gods were living like 800, 900 years, right? You look at this lineage, and they were beginning to have children like at 100 years old or something like that. In this entire lineage of 10 different families, all of them began to have kids roughly at 30, and all of them were dying roughly in their 200s. So you can see that after the flood, the lifespan of the human was coming down. And by the time it got 10 generations away, it was down to 205 years. So this is interesting, and there's some science to this, but some people believe that the Earth had a vapor canopy that prevented solar radiation, and solar radiation by itself ages you. And so that once that vapor canopy was broken during the flood, man began to age faster, and over a few generations began to live a lot shorter time. Up until like not too many generations from now, they were only living roughly 100 years. So those of you, I know, where's Ken at? Ken, he's going to live to 100. Besides Ken, I mean, the rest of us are going to die at 70, 80, or somewhere around there. And I have 5 years left, in case you're wondering. And so according to the 70 thing. And so anyways, and Rick, I'm sorry, man, you know, it's over for you. So hey, we're cold here. We tell the truth at Crossway. So okay. When Joshua is going to remember they got taken into Egypt, and then Moses led them out of Egypt, and they had the 40 years in the wilderness, and then they were going to go into the promised land and finally settle this promised land, Canaan, that God originally tells Abraham to go to. And remember, I'm going to tell this story in order, so he hasn't like promised him the land yet, not in this passage, but I'm going to just do it in the order that God does it, and we'll build the story as it goes. But in Joshua 24:2, when Joshua's looking back, he's saying this. Listen to what he says. And Joshua says to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. So I want you to listen. It's not Joshua saying the history. Joshua is saying that the Lord said this was the history. So listen what he says. Long ago, your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, and Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, and they what? Served other gods. Now, and then the next verse says this, and then I took father Abraham, your father Abraham, from beyond the river, and I led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. So I want you to see something that's very important. because God will come back when Moses is, just prior to this, Moses had done his swan song, that is his last sermon before the people of God came over into the promised land. And that's the book of Deuteronomy, if you want to read it. And he's standing on the edge of the Jordan. The people are fixing to come across. He can't come with them. And he tells them, repeats their history to them, tells them the laws of God, tells them all the stuff. It's the swan song. And in that swan song, he says this. He says, this is the late entry that I didn't get to Bubba, but listen. He says this. He says, it was not, you're a holy people to the Lord. Holy, by the way, means separated, out. In other words, God chose you. You're a holy people to the Lord. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people of his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. And it wasn't because you were more in number than any people. As you remember, when Abraham leaves and heads towards, he's only like 167 strong. There's only 167 people in this little nation, if you will, that Abraham was his crew. It wasn't, I didn't pick some big powerful nation, some big strong nation. It wasn't because you were a big mighty people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, because you were the fewest of all the peoples. I want you to hear that. The Lord picked this family that out of the other families that had settled, we saw Nimrod had settled these four cities. We saw that he had settled four cities over in what's his name. We saw a bunch of different things. And of these families that had settled, God picked Abraham's family, who was the fewest of all the peoples. And he said this, you were the fewest peoples, but because the Lord loved you and he wanted to keep an oath, he brought you out with a mighty hand. So listen, here's my point. Not only were they a few people, but they were also people who worshiped other gods. Not only were they a few people, but they were also a people who worshiped other gods. Now, what's my point? My point is, when God chooses you, you can be pretty far from him, even worshiping other gods. Amen? You remember the great story of Saul of Tarsus, who literally killed Christians, who thought the Christian faith was exactly wrong and that people needed to die for buying into it. But God chose him. And it was over. Right? And everything changed. And for what? And there's a lot of speculation about Abraham's, if you will, conversion experience. But we limit our ideas about it to what the scriptures say about it. And we'll let speculation be for those who get paid to speculate. And so in Acts, this is Stephen preaching the great famous sermon where he's fixing to be martyred. Listen to what Stephen says. Stephen says, brothers and fathers, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran, and said to him, go out from your land and from your kindred and go into a land that I will show you. And so listen, here's what happened. Sometime when he was over there and his family was worshiping the other gods, God showed up to him in glory, just like he showed up to the apostle, to Saul in glory, just like he showed up to some of you in glory, and called you by your name and said, you're my people, and I need you to do something, and I need you to leave where you're at. And it may have been after his dad dies, who knows? The historical record looks like in Genesis that it plays out that way. But somehow God came and in glory revealed himself. You've been worshiping other gods. I'm the God. And I have something for you to do. I'm going to make you a great nation. And so we'll read that in just a second. And the Bible says Then he went out from the land of the Chaldeans and he lived in Haran. So it looks like that God may have even called him before he settled in Haran. Who knows? But it looks like that. And after his father died, God removed him. I just, there's a lot of times where we think Abraham, you know how we are. He's the father of faith, right? So don't get that twisted. We're fixing to go there. But we sometimes glorify people and not realize what, no, they were just as stubborn as we were. No, they were just as small as we are. No, they were worshiping the other gods. And God called them. And no, they settled down in the wrong place. And God had to move them. And God's had to move some of us. Amen. God moved me to here. Thank the Lord. And so, Jackie will say, amen, honey. Amen. And after his father died, God removed him from there into the land in which you're now living. And yet he gave him no inheritance in it. This is the part that I was saying that he was just telling him that he was not even a foot's length, but promised to give it to him as a possession and to his offspring after them, even though he had no children. And so that's a little bit of the history of God's call to Abraham. In verse 12, though, the next verse says this. And now the Lord, and this says said, but it well could say had said. And as a matter of fact, some people say that the Greek words and that it ought to be translated had said, because you're seeing what God, what Stephen said already happened back in Mesopotamia, right? So now the Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And listen, this is the great promise of God to Abraham as a person and to his posterity, which means his people. That is the people that would come from him. And remember an important thing, he has no children and his wife is barren. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. In the very first promise that God gave when he chose a particular people for himself, a people that he was going to show the entire world who the real God was, and he was going to use this small nation to do it, he said, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Even to this day, even to this day, 4 billion of the 7 billion people on the planet consider Abraham to be the father of their faith. All monotheistic religions, which is Christianity, which is Islam, and which is Judaism, consider Abraham to be the father of their faith. His name is great. His name is great. And he said, I'm going to make you a blessing to the nations. Now, what was God up to? God was showing himself to be great through Abraham. He was showing himself to be great through this chosen nation. And you'll see this, that the chosen nation constantly blew it. You'll see this about them, that even though God had chose them and had chose them to show himself the wonderful, merciful, kind, glorious, delivering, rescuing God, even though God had chosen this nation to do that, which would culminate in the Lord Jesus, his only begotten Son, even though that was a reality, this nation would do everything other than what God wanted it to do throughout all their history. And they would blow it time and time again. And God would, because he had made this promise to them, straighten them out and continue to show them to be great to the nation and continue to make their nation a blessing to the other nations. That was what he was going to do. And the second thing he said was this. He said, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, this is a key sentence, a key phrase, in you, that is in your seed, in your inheritance, all the nations, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And the Bible says, so Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 when he departed from Haran. Now, I want to read you a couple things so that you don't miss the gospel, because the Bible will say this. The Bible will say in Galatians that Abraham, that the scripture, seeing that God preached the gospel to Abraham. And so this is gospel. And so we need to hear that. But let's see what it says in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, this is the great hall of fame of faith passage, says this. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. The verse 9 is important, but it's not important until next week. I'll show you that next week. Galatians 3 says this. Know then that it was those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham and said, in you all the nations will be blessed. And so what God was saying to Abraham was this. The scripture knew that God was going to draft us and graft us into himself. The scripture knew that God wasn't going to choose one nation and isolate the other nations, but that through the one nation, God would bless all the nations. And so what happened was, since the scripture knew that, they preached the gospel. So then, the Bible says, those who are of faith are blessed, along with Abraham, who was the man of faith. Now, I want to show you something really fast, because Abraham doesn't know all the stuff that we know yet, does he? But the Bible says that he believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So here's the thing. This is only important if you know the background that I just shared. Here's Abraham. He's raised by his dad. They worship other gods. God shows up. The God says, Abraham, need you to pack all your family up, this tiny little group, and I need you to head to a land that I'm going to give you. Actually, I'm not going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to some of your relatives long time from now. But I need you to go, and I want you to scout it. And Abraham believed God. See, friends, sometimes you have no clue what's going on next in your life. But may I say this to you? That if God has grabbed a hold of you and chosen you to be his own, you can believe him. And that actually is enough. It actually is enough. And here's the promise. Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And Abraham, I'm going to make your name great, not so that your name will be great, but so that my name can be great through your name. And Abraham, people are going to be blessed by you. You're going to bless all the families of the world. There's something in you that's going to bless all the families of the world. Listen, Acts 3, the great sermon after Pentecost, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, in your seed, all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. In your seed. Galatians 3 says it this way. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed, and the scripture does not say to seeds, meaning many, but to your seed, meaning one, who is Jesus. Here's what God's saying. I'm going to take a natural family who are small and little, who I had to rescue from worshiping other gods. I'm going to call them, and I'm going to bless them, and I'm going to make them the people that are going to bless the earth, because from you is going to come the guy who blesses the earth, the Lord Jesus. And from Jesus, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And I want to say this to you, very simply, those of you who are Jesus's. You are a blessing. You're a blessing. Do you hear the mission from the very start? From the very start, God said, I'm going to make you a blessing. From the very start, he said, I'm going to make you a blessing to every family. And I want you to think about it right now. How is it that you are a blessing? It's not whether or not you are. The Bible says that you are. How are you a blessing? Many times I've thought of it this way, is that you're a gift when you walk in the room from God. I'm not questioning whether or not you're a gift. It is a fact that if you are God's, you are a gift. The question is, how is it that you are a gift? And do you even see yourself as that? Do you see yourself as the one who God sent to bless the people in the room that you're in? Do you see yourself that way? I was thinking about it. I was going to pick on Jordan, but he went in the back. I'll pick on him anyways through you. And look, so here Jordan's a blessing, right? And you say, oh, well, he's a blessing when he leads a Bible. No, he's not a blessing when he leads a Bible study. He's a blessing because he's one of God's people and he cares for people and he writes insurance so people can be protected when their cars get smashed. He's a blessing. He's a blessing because he's a father. He's a blessing because he's a husband. He's a blessing because he's a friend. But he's a blessing. He's one of God's people and he's a blessing. And listen, so are you. God's people are the light of the world. He doesn't say you might be the light of the world. He says you are the light of the world. And his only admonition is act like it. His only admonition is don't hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. His admonition is not you might be if you get your act together. His admonition is, I have blessed you. I brought you out of worshiping other gods. I brought you from nobody. And because you're mine, you're a blessing. Now go be one. And those are the people of God. The people of God are the blessing to the world. We sit around and we fuss about how the world's going to a hell in the handbasket. Forget that nonsense. Go bless the world that is going to hell in a handbasket. We are the representatives of the God of the universe, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, even our Lord Jesus Christ. We're his representatives. You're a blessing. You bless me. I don't let you know that enough. Some of you I do, like Angel. But the rest of you, you know, not as much. But if you were as much of a blessing as Angel, no, I'm just joking. Anyways. Listen, come on. We have all of our little ways that we light the room up. And it's not about you. Remember he said that he was going to make Abraham's name great? But remember what the purpose is to make Christ's name great? Right? So we live to bless the world, to be the light, I just love the fact that at the very start, that God said, listen, I want you to pack up and I want you to go bless the world. And Abraham said, I'm on it. Got that. Let's go. All right, guys, listen. You're God's people. Go bless the world. Let's all say together, let's go. Exactly. Hats off to Tommy for helping us to learn how to say let's go. So, Lord, we love you. We're thankful that you called a small guy whose family worshiped other gods, that you showed up in your marvelous light, just like you did with Saul, Tarsus, and you called him to yourself, called him to a purpose, blessed him, sent him on his way so that he could be your representative and let the whole world know what you look like. And I thank you, Lord, that you haven't stopped doing that, that we're included in that great promise because we're people of faith. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you will continue to let your light shine through us throughout the world. In Jesus' name, amen.